Now that Wendy's has these new biggie deals, everyone in the family can get what they're craving, from Nugs to JBCs. The parental units can get an $8 biggie bundle, the eldest who think they're so grown can get a $6 biggie bag, and the little one who can do no wrong can get a $4 biggie bites. You know, assuming they have a credit card. No, I'm kidding. We take cash too. $4, $6, and $8 biggie deals for the whole family. Only at Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
I suppose it'd be wrong to say every position's up for grabs.
I know Henry's won this race a few times, but I haven't, and it's just an incredible race to win, yeah.
No fear at all, because the boss is the boss.
Winning Rossmann was never even on my radar.
Whoever dreamt anyone was going to get to 100 winners, it was just something that was unachievable.
We stood up, we showed our character like we do in every single game.
This is SportsBeat Extra on Beat.
I'm Aldrin Johnson and you're listening to SportsBeat Extra. Coming up on this week's show, I'll be joined by Rory Cassidy from Irish Runner magazine to review Ireland's success at the World Athletics and World Paralympics Championships. And we'll hear all from new interim head coach at Waterford FC, Matt Lawler, ahead of their must-win clash against Drogheda United. But first, let's take a look back at Team Europe's success at the Ryder Cup.
SportsBeat Extra.
Beat 102-103.
Good afternoon and welcome to the final day of the 45th Ryder Cup.
Oh, he's got it.
Guys, shut the up.
This is unbelievable from the United States. Maybe the impossible is starting to become possible.
I heard some guy who was like, Roy, you're not that good. And you said, I'm really effing good. And so
I am.
I know you are.
Really good.
The 2019 Open champion stands tall and delivers for the European team who have retained the Ryder Cup.
Delighted to be joined by Ray Scott in what seems to be sort of the best time to be an Irish golf fan. I mean, we talked about the Irish Open a couple of weeks ago, and now we're talking about the Ryder Cup, which coincidentally came down to an Irish player's final putt of the game to win it for Team Europe. What a time to be alive, wasn't it?
It was amazing, Aldrin. And, you know, Shane Lowry with the winning putt joined, a distinguished list of Irish golfers who've contributed winning putts in the Ryder Cup. If you go back to, you know, Christy O'Connor Jr. with that 2-iron, you had Philip Walton, you had Paul McGinley, you know. I think Graham McDowell, I think, was very close to it in Celtic Manor as well. And now Shane Lowry, it was just amazing to watch. And it was riveting golf. You know, historic in many regards. Obviously, you know, winning in Bethpage was unprecedented. I think it's probably been the greatest win on foreign soil, you know, for an away team. The manner in which they did it over the Friday and Saturday, record-breaking, historic in terms of winning all four sessions before the singles. And the recriminations were starting on Keegan Bradley on the Saturday evening, and then they come out on Sunday, and, you know, Ludvig Åberg, the only European to actually win a match. So it was nail-biting right to the very end. And in the run-up to it, I was being asked about scores. What did you think? And I said, I think, you know, 14.5, 13.5, or 15-13 will be the score. Saturday night, I thought it would be a record victory for the Europeans, but boy, the Americans turned up on Sunday afternoon, didn't they? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, if you kind of look at it, I suppose even if you're delighted and you're cheering on Europe, to see a game like that where America comes back so quickly and puts it within touching distance, and then you have to come down to this final moment with Shane Lowry, like, it really does kind of, it makes it all the more that enjoyable at the end, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And I think as well, we forget perhaps how close those matches were, the singles on Sunday, because so many of the matches ended up on the 18th green. You know, the last match or the last hole in so many matches. Now, unfortunately, most of them went the American way, but it was still all tight all the way to the end. And, you know, I think sitting watching it, I was looking at my watch and I'm going, we have another hour, we have another hour has passed. We're like, where are we getting this point from, or this half point, you know? But it was brilliant to watch. And there are being a lot of questions that have to be asked about the fans, the how it was managed. The PGA of America maybe have to take a lot of responsibility here as well. So a lot of those questions, which probably won't show their face in a day or in 2 years' time, you know, but going forward for Ryder Cups, stateside, I think there has to be some measures taken.
I don't think we should ever accept that in golf. I think golf should be held to a higher standard than what was, you know, than what was seen out there this week.
Yeah, it's good you brought it up, because I was going to mention it, because despite the quality of golf during the tournament, like, it kind of was one of those things that was overshadowed by everything else other than the golf, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, we talk about Lowry. Lowry's putt on 18 was phenomenal, but Lowry finished with four threes in that match. I mean, the standard of golf, and I've talked about this in everyday tournaments as well, like, we forget how good these guys are. You know, Rory McIlroy goes out and he shoots a 4 under 68, and we go, ah, no, that Rory played poorly today. And you're going, that's how high the standards are. And Lowry hanging in there against Russell Henley, who's number three in the world. You know, Scottie Scheffler and Rory had a great match, went to 18. You know, that standard of golf should have been what we had all been talking about. But unfortunately, we weren't. We were talking about the unruly behaviour of the American fans, wasn't the Europeans, you know. And I think it summed up very well with somebody who said, the American fans spend all their time and energy berating the Europeans instead of supporting their own team. And I think that sums it up.
I think there was, I heard audio or at least clips from the actual tournament of them trying to get chance for like Scottie Scheffler and the likes of them, but nobody was really egging on for it. And then you have, of course, the chant, F you Rory, and everyone seems to be behind that, don't they?
Yeah, and unfortunately that was being propagated by somebody who was hired by the PGA of America to get the crowd going, you know, and there's no need for that. You don't need that. And the Americans in any sport can be so patriotic, right? But it's kind of limited to the chant of USA, USA. You know, somebody said, Europe, we don't have to spell it out, you know. But the Europeans, you know, the breadth of culture and diversity as well in Europe, I think it adds to that that ambience and that atmosphere that can be brought to the support of the European team. You know, you had some phenomenal chants. You know, there was a chant for every player on the team. You know, they all got behind them. And I think the Americans as well, no matter what they do, they can't buy that camaraderie. That they can't generate it. You look this year, oh, this is great. We've actually brought Larry Nelson in as an ambassador for the team. And you're kind of going, well, like, Europe have been doing things like that for years, you know. And the preparation, I think we're now beginning to hear how poorly prepared the Americans were. I think, and that may have been a sense of complacency. They thought they just had to turn up. The New York support in Bethpage was going to be enough to carry them through. They had the best players overall. When you look at the world rankings, that they were going to come and just turn up. They played 9 holes twice in the week of the Ryder Cup. Europe had been in the previous week. They had played the Bethpage course 8 times in 10 days. So the level of preparation was phenomenal. Luke Donald deserves so much credit. He goes down in history, joins Tony Jacklin's, the only team to win home and away, the only captain. But he had things, he gave them virtual reality headsets, personalized for the abuse, you know. That was the level of detail. They hired a comedian. They went out and had that Team Cup event that they have in the Middle East at the start of the year, which they did as well prior to Rome. And he hired an American to stand at one of the greens and berate each of the players coming through. And the players knew nothing about it. He didn't tell them or anything. But that was the level. Not to mind the stats, not to mind the work that the Molinari brothers did, Dodo in particular, who is a stats freak. They had all this work done. The Americans didn't do that. And I think they paid the price.
I mean, I've been so lucky to experience amazing things in this game. That was the hardest couple of hours of my whole life, honestly. I just can't believe it. I can't believe that putt went in. I stood over it going, this is it. I said to Darren walking down 18, I said, I have a chance to do the coolest thing in my life here.
I think we need to speak on Shane Lowry, because there's not a man, I think, that loves the Ryder Cup more than this, more than Shane Lowry. I mean, he was talking about before the tournament, even after it, but what a moment for him to be the one to win it all.
You couldn't ask for anything better. And as he said in his post-round interview, he said, I've won the Open Championship, a major in my own country, and this is bigger. this was bigger. For him, the Ryder Cup is everything. And team golf is, you know, at elite level in professional golf, it's an individual. So when you can get team golf going together, what that generates, that camaraderie that the Europeans have, and for the likes of Shane Lowry, you know, I would say that he would be gutted if he didn't make a Ryder Cup team. It would absolutely kill him. And you can see that how much it means to him. And it was just so fitting because he came very close as well in Rome to the putt as well. But he gave it his all. And by his own admission, he didn't play well Friday. He didn't play in the morning foursomes. He played in the afternoon with Rory. They kind of struggled a little bit, got a half. Didn't play Saturday. And there was a lot of question marks as to why he was playing Saturday evening. And yet Rory McIlroy said it was Shane carried him on Saturday evening. And then on Sunday, to go out and play the level of golf, which he also did Saturday evening as well in the four balls. So, you know, Shane Lowry is an icon of golf in Ireland. And he's an icon because he's kind of the lad next door, isn't he? He's the fella you'll walk into the pub and he'll be the guy sitting on the high stair and going, "Well, Audrin, how are you getting on?" And he'll sit down and he'll have a chat with you. And that's the way Shane Lowry is. He comes across that very personable person. You saw the passion. You saw some of his own reaction, which I thought, particularly Rory and Shane, the abuse that they received in the four balls on Friday and Saturday afternoon, the level of restraint they showed was phenomenal. And he will be there for as long as he can swing a golf club and make that team. He will be at a Ryder Cup.
We are going to go to Bethpage to kick their ass.
You talk about him obviously being an icon. I think probably one of the most iconic shots from this tournament now will be, and you talk about the detail in sort of the team room for all of them, that Stetzel quote from Keegan Bradley, like I'm paraphrasing here, but "we'll go kick their effing asses." And then Shane Lowry obviously in front of that with the Ryder Cup is sort of going to be one of those most iconic images that we'll look back in, I suppose, 10, 20 years and think about that as one of the greats, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that quote from Keegan Bradley was... You knew it was always going to come back and haunt him because they thought they only had to turn up. I think they firmly believed that, you know, it's so hard to win on foreign soil. It is, you know, Bethpage. It is the New York crowd, and the New York crowd are sports mad. Two NFL teams, two basketball teams, two hockey teams, two soccer teams. They live, breathe, and eat sport. And he thought that was going to be enough for them. So you knew it was always going to come back and haunt them. And it certainly did. And, you know, when you think about where Keegan Bradley was for Rome, you remember the Netflix documentary, Full Swing, the video of that phone call where he got that he wasn't getting a captain's pick. And, you know, he would have been on the team, or he would have played himself onto the team this year had he not been captain. But he, you know, he came out of left field. And I think that showed the level of panic, I think, that's on the American side. It's like, who do we get that can inspire, that can bring this team back? Now, you know, obviously, JP McManus's links with Tiger Woods are kind of saying that Tiger is going to be a shoo-in for Adair as the American captain. I'm not so sure. I don't think it will. But they do need to have a little root and branch review and analysis of everything, because the golf is no longer the be all and end all, as we've talked about, the little things, the touches, the gifts from the players or from the captains, the uniforms. Every little thing counts. No stone is left unturned. The Americans haven't quite grasped that yet, and they just think that we're good enough golfers that we can turn up and we can win. And for a long time they did that, you know, but not anymore.
But it means that Europe moved to 14 and a half points. And it means that Europe have not only retained, but they have won the Ryder Cup on US soil here at Bethpage Black. That's the way I like you.
Like you. Sports Beat Extra.
Beat 102-103.
O'Connor is... is the World Championship silver medalist. What a thing to be able to say.
The double for Ireland, and she has done it. Orla Comerford gets the 200 metres gold. It's her second gold of the week. It's Ireland's third.
I don't know, words can't describe how I feel. Words can't describe the year that I've had.
I'm delighted to be joined by the editor of Irish Runner magazine, Rory Casty, to look back on some of the amazing success for Irish athletes over the last few weeks. Rory, thank you so much for joining me. Firstly, I suppose we'll start with the 2025 World Championships, which were an absolute joy to watch, but probably for a lot of people, not in the ways they initially expected going into it.
No, absolutely not. That's for sure, Audrin. I guess expectations going in were low, I would say, given the fact that the team were without Rashid Adeleke, who was fourth in the Olympic Games and fourth in the last World Championships, and without Ciara McGeehan, who was unfortunately ill at the moment and was fourth at the 2023 World Championships. So without two of the biggest stars, I guess there was concern about how things would go. Expectations weren't high at all, but the performances that the athletes produced were just fantastic nearly across the board. The largest ever team that Ireland have sent to these championships, and yet our most successful ever.
I don't know, words can't describe how I feel. Words can't describe the year that I've had. I don't know, indoor season was like a complete dream. And I suppose like afterwards we took some time off and I really wanted to show that like I could carry that form into outdoor season.
Yeah, I think obviously the spotlight and the standout story has been Kate O'Connor's second place medal in the heptathlon. I mean, I suppose for those kind of coming into it probably don't have a lot of knowledge of the heptathlon, they've probably seen this sort of oddity just come out of nowhere and do so well, but this has been something that Kate herself has been working so hard towards, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has, but it's been a remarkable, I guess, 12-13 months for Kate. Like if you look at the Olympics in Paris last year, she was only 14th, and you know that was considered a good performance for at the time. Herself and her coaching team, which comprises of her dad Michael, Tom Reynolds, who works for Athletics Northern Ireland, and Dave Sweeney, who works for Athletics Ireland, they sat down after Paris and I guess kind of thought about how can we get to be one of the best in the world. And just the change in mindset, the change in approach, the change in training has paid dividends. She's won a European indoor bronze medal this year, a world indoor silver medal, World University Games champion, and now topped it off with by far the biggest achievement of her career to date, which is that world outdoor silver medal in the heptathlon, a first ever for an Irish athlete in multi-events at global level outdoors. It was just a terrific achievement, national record of 6,714 points, which is huge, and I think five personal bests of the seven events. So yeah, Kate was just a joy to watch over those 2 days of competition in Tokyo.
From the success then of the World Championships over to the Para World Athletics Championships in New Delhi, I mean, like, what an unbelievable performance from Team Ireland there.
Yeah, really, 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 really good. Three medals in total, two for Orla Comerford, who I guess has become, I guess, the golden girl of para athletics in Ireland. 100 metre gold in the T13, 100, and then gold as well in the 200 metres, also in the T13 category. Super performances, 11.88, I think, in the 100 metres, which is just a hundredth of a second outside her personal best. And it was her first ever World Championship medal. And I think she said it was the cherry on top then to go in the 200 metres. And to win that was just a phenomenal result as well. So two medals for Orla, and then Greta Sturmakita, who has missed out on winning world medals in the past by narrow margins. She came out on top in the women's T12/T13 in 1500 metres. So that was a phenomenal result by Greta as well. Again, a really, really positive result. A small team, only three athletes, the other being Lana Sutton, who made the finals in the 100 metres and 200 metres in the T38 category. So a small but mighty team. And they'll be building good momentum towards the LA 2028 Paralympic Games.
Mm-hmm. For Greta as well, I suppose it's particularly a sweet one to get as well, because despite being a three-time Paralympian, this is her first World Championship medal.
Yeah, it is. And like, she's been close. She was fourth in the Paralympic Games last year and has always been there or thereabouts when it comes to those World Championships. So to get over the line, I'm sure for her, will be a massive weight lifted off her shoulders, and she'll be looking to continue to progress in the coming years. You know, she's won multiple European medals down the years, European titles, has a European record to her name as well in the 1500 metres. So she's always been there or thereabouts. But again, once you finally make it onto a world podium like she has, I'm sure, as I said, a weight lifted off her shoulders.
The goal coming in here was
to try and win that 100. And for me, the 200 was like the cherry on top. But after last night, or Sunday night, I just was like, it's there. I feel good. I feel strong. I think as well, the Brazilian broke the world record in both the 100 and the 200 earlier in the summer. So I knew that coming out and beating her in the 100 was going to put down a mark. And I wanted to try and put my stamp on that and show that like I'm here to contend. And I didn't think it would be possible to top last Monday or Sunday night, but coming away as double gold feels pretty special.
I mean, you look at, I suppose, the athletes going in, and a lot of eyes would have been on Orla Comerford because she performed so well at the Paralympics last year, getting that bronze medal. I think even for her, though, she was surprised to have come away with two golds, wasn't she? Because she had focused so much on that 100 metres.
Yeah, she had. Like, the 200 metres really was just an added bonus. But that 100 metre gold medal, like, for someone who had never won a World Championship medal, to be able to deliver that level of performance, I think is really, really encouraging. Like, just the 100 outside her personal best, so nailing it, I guess, when it matters most is so important. And then improving on her bronze medal in Paris. Like, I know she was... I remember her speaking after that bronze medal in Paris, and she was kind of disappointed. She wanted the gold, but now she's got a gold at global level. Really hard to do, massive achievement in her career, and it sets her up really well for the coming years. Definitely one to watch.
Keeper goes up! Oh! Bang on! He did blow the whistle for full time. Oh, what a story that would have been had Stephen McMullen grabbed a 99th minute winner for equaliser for Waterford United.
Waterford's 2-1 loss to Shelburne last week in the League of Ireland Premier Division would be the last time John Coleman would manage the side. The English manager departed the club last weekend alongside assistant head coach Danny Ventry. Now, with the relegation battle on their hands and Drogheda United visiting the RSC tomorrow afternoon, Matt Lawler returns to the club in an interim capacity as head coach, a return he says is bittersweet.
In the best possible way, I didn't want to come back in, obviously, in a professional sense. I wanted this club to do really, really well. And hoped it did do really well, and obviously that hasn't come true at the moment. So yeah, I've been asked to come back for the foreseeable until the end of the season, just to try and help, and then that's all I've got to try and do now, try and help and get these four games to go as well as we can. So yeah, it wasn't foreseen, it wasn't anything to do with a plan. it's come off the back of results, and yeah, I'm glad to be back in the area because I love this area, I love this club, but I wish I wasn't here because that means that Waterford were doing well. So, yeah, it's bittersweet.
Defensive injuries have been an issue for Waterford in recent weeks, but Lawler insists they've still got good options.
Yeah, very little option, but still got good options. And anyone that we pick, we've obviously got a belief in. A couple more niggles this week, so... Again, it makes it even a bit more threadbare, but I've got full belief in the lads that we'll put out on that field and that pitch on Friday at the RSC behind a fan base that can be an extra player for us. So genuinely, that's not fluff, that's needed. Supporters for a reason. You support the club through thick and thin. I do that with when Waterford now, but obviously like the club that I support back home. So for me, options are limited, yeah, I agree. But moments have to be looked after. They have to matter the world to you in that moment. I've spoke all week about it with the players that you're supposed to be good at what you're supposed to be good at. So a centre-back has got to be good at defending. A full-back has got to be good at defending. The bonuses on top of that, they're good on the ball, they can move, whatever. But you have to be good at what you're supposed to be good at. And if it's to take care of that moment, be good in that moment. Because Drogheda, very, very, very good team. They look after key moments really, really well. And in the last 18 months, you've seen from probably a really tough start of the season, last season, the back half of last year and all of this year, they've looked after moments. So, yeah, it shows you how they've had 30% possession in some games, won 2-0 and been amazing. So, moments are huge and it can sway the way that people perceive a performance. And it also can sway how players feel like a performance has gone, because you can say you've actually done all right there, but lost 2-0 and like, nah, we haven't, or same with fans. So for me, moments are an absolutely huge element. And listen, will moments all go for us in these next four games? No, they won't. It's how you respond to them moments as well.
Due to Storm Amy, the clash against Drogheda United was postponed to tomorrow, with kickoff scheduled for 4 o'clock.
Club Focus with EcoSolar Energy. Focused on clean, reliable energy. Make the greener choice. EcoSolarEnergy.ie.
Before we finish up this week's show, just a quick note as the Club Focus Awards night is fast approaching. Beats Club Focus, in association with EcoSolar Energy, has been running for the last year. Each month, Beat has visited a club across the southeast, featuring them on this very show here, Sportsbeat Extra, and on Beat's social channels. As the 12 months come to a close, one of those clubs will bag the title as the winner and receive a €2,000 bursary. Club Focus remains integral in supporting Beat's ongoing commitment to highlight the amazing work that local clubs do across the region. We're also determined to celebrate the positive impact that sport has across the southeast and highlight achievements throughout our local communities. Make sure to get your vote in before October 8th. Head on over to beat102103.com to vote for your favourite club now.
Sports Beat Extra.
Beat 102103.
That's all for this week's Sports Beat Extra. You can listen back on our website, beat102103.com/podcasts. Don't go anywhere though, because the soundtrack to your Saturday night, Beat Anthems, is on the way next.